Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
How can we reduce the demand? Because, of course, the least expensive energy is the energy that is not used. We should reduce demand while fully respecting the free choice of consumers. So we are looking at energy efficiency levers such as renovation of buildings or the renewal of equipment in industrial operations. These are some measures, but there are also other measures that we will present or will be the core of the presentation of the communication next week on the table of the leaders. So far for the...
So there's the European Commissioner or EU Commissioner, Ursula von der Leyen, saying that the best use of energy is no use at all. It would be very efficient if you were all dead. You know, the way to save money on food is to not eat, and the way we save the air is not breathe. If you were all in the ground, the earth would be thriving. It's incredible stuff, and of course, it's not a coincidence that, oopsie-daisy, we go to war with Iran, and it looks like we have to do another lockdown, another climate change style, you know, scandal emergency. And it's all just as predictable as it is fraudulent. Here to talk about all of this, including the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, is Michael Yon. You can follow him on X at Michael_Yon. That's Y-O-N. MichaelYon.com, MichaelYon.locals.com as well. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. And speaking of Ursula, I believe her pony was killed by a wolf 2 or 3 years ago. Was it? Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. Remember that? They're weaponizing wolves in Europe. That's one of the weapons that they're using to reduce the, you know, cause problems for the European farmers. You could probably find it online, but one of those wolves, you know, they pretend like these wolves have, you know, just always, you know, I speak German and I can read German. So whenever this happens with a wolf in Germany, I read their newspapers and they're, you know, they're always blaming the farmers. One farmer in Netherlands, his name's Jordan van der Man is his name. He goes, "What are these wolves? They say they're indigenous here. Did these wolves? My grandfather built this polder." You know what I mean? The polder, that's where they drain the water. And he goes, "What were they, sea wolves killing seahorses?" You know.
That really happen? Ursula von der Leyen had a pony eaten by a wolf?
I think it was killed by a wolf, and I think they were taking DNA. Can you find it online? I mean, I believe that was 2 or 3 years ago. I've been watching the wolf thing for a while.
That sounds like an omen to me.
Wolves and beavers and...
I'm going to add that to my list of European omens, because there's the black and white horse covered in blood running through the UK. It's like, I think the nature of Europe is desperately crying out and none of us are listening. I had no idea about that. I mean, if you look into Ursula von der Leyen, I mean, she is like the quintessential, like, you know, European elite globalist. I mean, comes from the wealthiest families you can imagine. These two German aristocracy families joining, and she's the, you know, the premier example of them, and she's just systematically destroying Europe. What is wrong with the European leadership, Michael?
Just woke. I mean, really gone. But it's been, well, I think they were never not like that. You know, actually, those upper echelons have always been very super elitist. There she is. Did that horse get eaten by the pony? I mean, did that pony get eaten by the wolf? You know? Oh, my gosh. I was talking with one Dutch lady, by the way, who was taking DNA samples of all these. There it is. Yeah,
Ursula von der Leyen warms to wolf coals after losing her pony. Okay. Interesting.
Oh, my goodness. And another German lady, she was on her electric bike and she said some wolves are trying to get her, almost got her, but she outran them with her electric bike. Apparently was quite fast. I mean, these wolves are serious. They're weaponized. Anyway, I could talk for hours about the wolves. I've looked into that quite a lot. But when it comes to, that's just one of the weapons of many. You know, when you go into a war, there's so many weapons being used. Nobody even knows how many weapons are being used, even the people in the war. But wolves are one of the weapons. Beavers are another one, you know, to flood lands that people live on, that sort of thing. So there's so many, like the screw worms and, you know, that we predicted, 4 or 5 years ago would start making a comeback, and they have, right?
Yep.
Actually. And so that's entomological warfare. You see the ticks with Lyme disease and that sort of thing. Anyway, but when it comes to the big stuff, energy, right? If you really want to cause famine, you know, as you recall, probably we've talked a couple times, you and I, about how we successfully predicted Nord Stream would be cut. My wife, Masako, and I, we were at BASF a couple of times before Nord Stream was cut. The last time we were at BASF was 14 days before Nord Stream was cut. And we were there specifically because we thought Nord Stream would be cut and BASF would be, you know, something you would want to target if you're trying to create famines. In fact, I just put on X tonight. I wouldn't doubt that we'll see sabotage at BASF. In any case, Nord Stream did get cut just as we predicted. And Groningen gas field also got cut just as we predicted. And so many other things. The reason that we're getting these things right is we just do what Alex Jones said he does. He just reads what they say they're going to do. And then we just go out there and audit. I mean, it's pretty simple in its essence. I mean, it does take a lot of study. It's not like you can just read a couple articles and know what they're going to do. It's not that simple. You do have to study a lot. And then we physically go and we look at places. And then at over time, that's why I never saw them saying that we're going to close the Strait of Hormuz. I never saw them say that. I'm just studying what they're doing, what their capabilities are. And at some point I'm like, you know what? I'll bet the Zionist forces, let's say that's a combination of U.S. and Israel and that MENA structure, I'll bet you they're going to close Strait of Hormuz and blame Iran. And then, you know, and I kept saying that in interviews and publishing it, and now they've done it yesterday. You know, even when I'm confident that this is, you know, the analysis is good, you're still a little surprised when it comes true, you know? And of course, I think that we have to keep a close eye on Panama. I think Panama Canal at some point will be interrupted. You saw the fire recently under the bridge, the Bridge of the Americas. There it is. Was that actually video from the Bridge of the Americas?
That was a Ukraine bridge, but it just goes to show you that all over the world there are these attacks on infrastructure in general, but energy infrastructure in particular. And you combine that with the Greta Thunberg, you know, climate change agenda. It's like, well, one's just the more efficient method. And, you know, you can either shut it down by voting for it and, you know, all cheering while you collapse the nuclear cooling tower, or you can strike it with an airstrike. It's like, we're doing the same thing. So really what I find is makes it easy for me to predict things. I'm sure it's the same with you, is you have to know their motive. You have to know what they actually want and what they're going for. If you don't know, if you think we're actually trying to win a war against Iran to stop their nuclear, that's not what it's about. It's about continuing the operation they've been in, different manifestations. COVID was obviously one of them, of locking down the world and sort of getting us used to a one world government with arbitrary restrictions run by corporations. I mean, once you know that's the plan, everything else kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, you just said the golden key right there, knowing their motive, right? And then from there, knowing their motive, we know that one of their motives in service to the larger grand strategy picture is depopulation.
Right.
And one of the things that they're using for depopulation is just famine, like massive famines. So then working back from there, close Strait of Hormuz, close Panama Canal, close Suez, close the Turkish Straits, you know, or let's say Bosphorus, close Danish Straits. We were just up there looking at that. Close Malacca, Singapore Strait, obviously Suez, Bab el-Mandeb. Close those things. Close maybe Hamburg. We were just up there looking at that. Close that's the biggest harbor in Germany, Hamburg. It's the third biggest in Europe. Close Antwerp and Rotterdam and a few other things. Before you know it, you'll have, you know, they've been destroying these fertilizer plants and, you know, culling chickens and all sorts of things, destroying fishing boats, and it goes on and on. These things are additive pressures. There's no thing in particular. Actually, I think that there's no thing in particular that puts us in famine, but because I think we've proven to be, I think that they thought that we would probably go into famine during the actual pandemic lockdowns, right? Or after that, maybe within a year or so, but it didn't happen. Actually, I think that was actually a goal at that time, but we were more resilient. The system was more resilient. It's a very robust system, but they kept working on it and coming back with a bigger plan now, and obviously cutting down. You see what they're doing in the Gulf states? They're destroying the synthetic countries, the 1922 countries. Those countries, you know, like Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain, Oman, Saudi Arabia, UAE, they're closing those, they're destroying those countries. And Israel is being destroyed as well. A lot of people don't get that. Maybe 1% see that part of it. But I wouldn't be surprised, for instance, in Iraq to see Mosul Dam be destroyed. I first wrote about that maybe 20 years ago, actually, Mosul Dam, because there's a, when you look at the causes of war, the reasons for war, let's say, are routes, resources, and ideology. Routes, resources, and ideology. And all three of those are in sharp relief on this one. And keep in mind, a lot of these countries are synthetic, like Panama. We created Panama in 1903 to make the Panama Canal. The British created the GCC countries, you know, those I just named, like Kuwait and Oman and Saudi Arabia. They created those in 1922 in service to routes and resources in the Gulf area. And 1948, Israel was created for the same reason. Israel to gain control of the Suez Canal and some other issues there. So that's actually two countries related to canals. That would be Israel and Panama, created largely for canals, right?
Right.
And so they want to build the Ben Gurion Canal through Israel, which I think was probably related to the ever given blockage of the Suez in recent years. But bottom line is, I think you're going to see, I would not be surprised if actually to see BASF at Ludwigshafen, Germany, and other places get attacked. I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all, because they're clearly depopulating Europe in general and the population, well, and the general population of planet Earth. And so they'll take out as much of this energy infrastructure. They're not just turning it off, like Groningen gas field in Netherlands, the biggest gas field in Europe. They didn't just turn off the valves and that sort of thing. They you know, damage the architecture a great deal. You can't just turn it back on again. Same with Nord Stream. They didn't hit it with a software attack or that sort of thing that you could, you know, unscrew it and get it going again. They blew it up and flooded the pipes, right?
Right.
So, I mean, this is so they're actually destroying, you know, or the Germans destroying that nuclear plant some months ago in Bavaria. You know, they invited the public to come watch them blow up the cooling towers.
I was going
to
say, and didn't they, and they built it like 2 years before. It was worth the tens of billions of dollars. I mean, it's just, it's suicidally stupid what they're doing. And you brought something really interesting at the end there. I've all this other stuff I want to ask you about, but you just mentioned, you said it was more than a cyber attack, or it was more than, you know, a computer hacking attack. But I was actually just having this conversation with some of the crew last night, because we were talking about what would be the most, you know, predictable, you know, if we were predicting what the big false flag attack would be, we were saying it'll probably be against energy infrastructure here in America. And probably the easiest and best way to do it would be a cyber attack. And we know that a lot of, you know, the lockstep document that a lot of people point to, the Rockefeller document that seems to have predicted or planned COVID and the lockdowns there, the section right after lockdown is hack attack. And it talks about attacks against infrastructure. What do you think the likelihood is that the attacks on infrastructure and energy infrastructure in particular that's taking place in the Middle East right now, what's the likelihood that that comes to America? And if it does come to America, what form do you think it will take?
Oh, extremely high, Harrison. What form will it take? Well, if we look at the form that they're doing of these other attacks, they're final attacks. I mean, like, they really took out Nord Stream. They really took out that nuclear plant that you were just talking about. I mean, they destroyed it, right?
Yeah.
And some of the coal-fired plants in the United States, they blow them up. And so likewise with a lot of the water infrastructure in Europe, there's actually a website that tracks this in English. They're destroying water infrastructure all over Europe. And so what form would it take, the destruction of the U.S. grid? Well, they could do software attacks, but I think you'll probably see physical attacks as well,
yeah.
Right? And you know, they will have mapped out the critical nodes. They'll know, you know, which places to take out that are hardest to to recover, and go for it. And those power plants are obviously, you know, key places, as you can imagine. And likewise, you know, I've been suspicious of a lot of the things that's happened. I'm in Japan right now, like Fukushima. You go up to Fukushima, and you can see there's radiation monitors by the side of the road, like almost like electronic, check your speed, but it's telling you how many, what the radiation, you know,
wow.
And you can see it fluctuating as you're driving. You know, I think it's there to scare people out of Fukushima, is my guess. But we went up there actually to a large vaccine, quote unquote, a factory that they're making up in Fukushima. It's huge. I mean, I published on it about 2 years ago. Yeah, 2.5 years ago, maybe. But I mean, you know, these this it's a It's a full spectrum war that's going on, whether it's pharma, whether it's, you know, spraying the skies or entomological with bugs or opening the borders. The border invasions are far from over. I mean, you're going to, you know,
they're ramping up in places like Spain.
Still in place. Yeah, Spain's being, and it's the likely suspects doing it. The same ones that have always been doing it. The NGOs that, the same NGOs, right? They have not been addressed. If the powers that be wanted to stop this, it would be a simple matter. You'd take out those NGOs, which would probably take, you know, about half a day, and then those would be done.
Hell, you could just stop actively funding the NGOs and they'll go away in about a day. It's easy. You know, you don't even have to have a law to stop them. Just stop actively giving them money.
Right.
I love that you brought up Fukushima. It's funny, coincidental. I just said on X, somebody asked, what's your favorite conspiracy theory? My favorite conspiracy theory, favorite in that it's, you know, people don't know it, but it's fascinating. Fukushima was built by, it's the only reactor in Japan that was built by an American company that has ties to the CIA. It was built on a fault line. It was almost, seems like it was set up to fail. At the time, there were a lot of questions about whether there was an earthquake machine at work creating this on purpose. And the ultimate result of that was that what's-her-name got elected in Germany. At the time, there was a big election in Germany, and the big question about the election was, do we do nuclear energy or, you know, fossil fuels? And nuclear energy was winning, and they were going to win until the Fukushima thing happened. Germany decides, oh, nuclear energy isn't worth it, and they elect I'm blanking, not Ursula von der Leyen, who's the German chancellor that opened the door and let all the migrants in. She got elected because Fukushima went down. So it's like you really look at this from a bird's eye view, and it's like, are all of these things tied in together? Is this all a push that's been going on for several decades to demonize cheap, effective energy, to poison the sea so we can't get natural foods? We have to do that, you know, mechanically or industrially as well. Flood Germany with migrants, destroy the German state, then do the climate change agenda. It's like all of these things all seem to be pushing towards the same direction. Whether it was an intended or not, I guess we can debate. But that is the series of events, as bizarre as it may seem.
Actually, I think the theory that you're throwing on the table, I think it holds water. You know, I was actually in Afghanistan when Fukushima did its thing. I was right on the Iranian border, actually, out with Baluch people, and I saw that thing happen, and I actually left Afghanistan and went straight to Japan.
Yeah.
And actually, and it took like a week to get there because I was out in the boondocks of Afghanistan. But I get to Japan, and the Navy, U.S. Navy, told me they were going to let me get on the aircraft carrier, the Ronald Reagan. Then I show up to Japan, and they're like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm the person that you just invited in from the boondocks of Afghanistan to get on the carrier. But I never got on it, actually.
Wow.
Later, they said that, and later you may have seen reports that the aircraft carrier itself was said to be irradiated from the plume. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe they're using that as a way to do something with the Ronald Reagan. I don't know. But one thing we do know, and you guys talk about it all the time on InfoWars, is that these, you know, the highest form of warfare is information war. I mean, it is the highest form of warfare. And and a lot of, as you know, there's often a real component to it. I mean, often a lot of people do die and that sort of thing. And often it's just, you know, but if you go to Fukushima now, you see those, electronic readouts of the how much radiation is flowing around there right now. It's amazing. They've depopulated a lot of that area. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And of course, it's hard to see it as a coincidence when clearly the powers that be want to demonize cheap and effective energy production, and you have this very coincidental disaster leading to everything else. And just to emphasize what you were saying earlier, this story was published today from France 24. Blindsided, U.S. farmers strained as fertilizer costs surge in war. On a farm in North Carolina, planting and preparations are underway for corn and soybean crops, but fertilizer costs have surged on war in the Middle East, and orders he placed weeks ago have never arrived. So, I mean, this is already having tangible effect. I mean, we keep being told, oh, it's not going to affect us. It's not going to affect us. We have our own stuff. You know, it's just affecting Europe and China, so it's a good thing. But American farmers are getting hit with this fertilizer shortage, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, I think it's going to get a lot worse. You know, the flash to bang on this is kind of slow because there's a lot of fertilizer in the pipeline. There's still a lot of nitrogen in the fields and that sort of thing. And we're eating food that was produced last year now. So when we fade into 2027, I think we're going to start feeling it like very heavy. Not, well, the energy we're going to start feeling very soon, you know, as the ships that are already out to sea, you know, as those things get, you know, used up, then we're going to start to feel the energy side. But when it comes to the crop side, that, but again, there's another way to fast forward this. That is if they close the Strait of Malacca, close the Turkish, you know, say the Bosphorus and the Danish Straits and those sorts of things, you close those and you know, close the Panama Canal. Closing the Panama Canal can have an impact. A lot of food flows through the Panama Canal from South America. A lot of food produced in South America flows both directions through the Panama Canal. So closing all these places, Malacca is huge. I mean, if you close the Strait of Malacca, I say huge. I mean, the Strait of Malacca is not huge, and the Strait of Singapore is tiny, actually. But the stuff that flows through there, huge. It's absolutely massive. I've been warning Japanese for years, by the way. If you see the Strait of Hormuz close for any length of time, you should stock up heavy on food.
Yeah.
Right? And we're way into that. But I really think they're going to go for the and one of the things I've talked about before, I think I talked about with you, was the Kraw Isthmus Canal, right? And I talk about it all the time for years now. I first did a recon of that in 2014. There's no canal there now. But now with the Strait of Malacca threatened, the Chinese are like, yeah, we're going to build that canal through Thailand. The Kraw Isthmus, Kraw means turtle in Thailand. It's that like elephant trunk isthmus that goes down to, you know, from what is Thailand, and it goes down to Malaysia, right? So you could build a canal across there. It's been a dream for centuries. But now with the threat to the Strait of Malacca, I think they're going to go for it. And they'll probably build also the Funan Techo Canal through Cambodia from the Mekong River. Now, that'll go right through the Gulf of Thailand. I'm about to tell you something very important. That'll go right through the Gulf of Thailand. So if you look on a map of where the Funan Techo Canal will be, if they do that, and where the Kraw Isthmus Canal will be, if they do that, which I think that they will, that goes right through the Gulf of Thailand. There's energy out there. Now, Israelis have been colonizing an island called Koh Tao. I've been there. Koh means island in Thai language. Koh Tao, K-H-O, next word is Tao, T-A-O. If you look where Koh Tao is in Koh Phangan and Koh Samui, that's right along the route that will be between the Funan Techo Canal and the Kraw Isthmus Canal.
Well, that's very interesting. Hold on. Yeah, I'm going to have to see a map of this to fully understand what you're saying. We got to go to break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Michael Yon. Follow him on X at Michael_Yon, MichaelYon.com as well. And we'll be back on the other side to pick it up right there. This is fascinating stuff. I hadn't even heard of these canals he's bringing up now.
We have it all. Ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein for cardiovascular and ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Pitley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.